Yo, everyone. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. It is I, your resident do-gooder himself, and everyone's favorite uncle, Mr. Courtney Edwards. And this is episode 3 of Big Beards, Bigger Dreams podcast. All right. So listen, I know it has been a long time since we've been together, neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Please won't you be my neighbor? Okay, enough of that. I wanted to take a little bit of time to work on the execution of the podcast a little bit. I wanted to learn a little bit more about the software that I'm using to put it together. And also I wanted to buy some new equipment. So I bought a new microphone, and also bought a audio interface, which is sort of like a hub in computer lingo. If you've used a Mac or a MacBook Pro, etc., you'll be well aware that they only have one or two ports for like USB. And so unlike PCs back in the day, right, that had like 30 ports, multiple USBs, sometimes they had FireWire, or now I'm sure they come with HDMI. So if you want to like connect multiple peripherals to your MacBook, you have to get a hub, or in Mac lingo, right, a dongle. So that's kind of what the audio interface is. The audio interface is like a hub, but for like just audio, pro audio equipment. So it pretty much processes the sound and then relays it to your computer so that your computer can read the sound and incorporate the sound into whatever software you're using. So it's different than what I was using before, which was sort of a plug and play mic that was through USB, which was good. It's a great mic, but after doing tons of research and looking on YouTube, tons of YouTube videos, I've learned that the best mics, or what the professional podcasters use, are usually the pro mics that connect through the audio interface, as opposed to a mic that connects directly to the computer via USB. And I will say the sound is amazing. The sound, the clarity is great. Before, there was tons of ambient sound in the background that you could hear. So definitely, if you're starting a podcast and you want some information, I could definitely send some stuff or post some stuff on social media about the tools and equipment that I'm using, and also maybe a video of how to connect it all together to make it work. So I'm very happy with the way the podcast is sounding and the clarity of it, and also the fact that it's not choppy or there's no clipping. That was one of the issues that I had before, was the sound would clip. And clipping is when the sound is so loud, the decibels are so loud that part of it gets clipped off. So like the higher registers get clipped off, so you don't hear those. So it's like you're talking and you just hear different pauses, and that's because the sound is being clipped. So the new mic kind of alleviates that. And also I've gotten better at using the software, so I've been able to kind of alleviate that within the software, which is really important. So overall, I'm just super excited about the new mics and the new setup that I have for the podcast. And like I said, I'll leave a link in my social media if anyone's interested in the different types of software and tools that I'm using. I think I can even create like a separate listing on Amazon, because most of the stuff I actually got from Amazon, which I guess is not the greatest thing, right? I feel like I would rather support smaller businesses, which is important too, supporting smaller businesses. But sometimes it's hard to find stores that sell like high-end audio equipment. There's not a whole lot of them around, because that's such a niche kind of market, right? Most of the people who are using high-end audio equipment are going to be people who are either musicians or producers, and they use this type of equipment. But because of the renaissance of not just podcasting, but also YouTube, and there's a lot of content creators out there, so people are using these type of high-end pro audio equipment setups in their homes, and they're creating studios in their homes. Something that I would never have thought about like 10 or 15 years ago, putting together a podcast and then having all this high-end equipment in my house. It's very interesting. But if you watch YouTube, you learn a lot about content creators, and you get to see different points of view. And I'm really big into movies, particularly the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with the Avengers and Thor and Iron Man. So there's a lot of content creators out there that are doing wonderful things. things, and like to see the variations in their setups, and they have different types of equipment and monitors and what types of computers that they're using, what types of software that they're using to kind of put their shows together. It's always fascinating. And there are people out there who do live shows, which is really interesting. I don't know if I can imagine doing a live show, because if you're into television production, right? When you do a live show, I mean, there's a whole production team in the back. There's a studio. They're watching everything in real time, and they're the ones that are responsible for all the cuts and the commercial breaks and incorporating sound bites or B-roll or different types of video. There's someone doing that. There's a team in the back doing that on these live shows. And so I can't imagine YouTube creators are doing live shows where it's only them and maybe like one other person, and they're not just talking, but they're also controlling the show from like the production standpoint, and what types of images come up on the screen, and if they're gonna play clips, if they're gonna play sound bites, when does it cut, when does it go to break or commercial. So all that's being done by one person, which is quite fascinating to watch. At least I couldn't imagine actually doing it. You would have to have a pretty major setup, and some of these people have really great setups. Like I've seen people have full studios in their spare bedrooms or in their garages. They have a full studio set up. High-end like audio equipment is very expensive. I mean, mics could be like $250. The mic that I have is in the $200 range now. I'm sure they have mics that are $300, $400, $500 mics. The mics that you see inside of like studios where people are recording music, because you have to have those really high quality mics if you're going to produce the type of sound, especially sound that's going to be processed into, well, now I guess digital files, because who's seen a CD? When's the last time I haven't seen a CD, a physical CD. I haven't seen that in years. And I used to love CDs. Growing up, I grew up with cassette tapes, and cassette tapes were everything. It was so cool to like go to your music store. And back in the day, living in New York City, when I was in like high school and junior high school, I used to go to, there was a store called Nobody Beats the Wiz, and that's where you would buy your music. And I grew up in the Fordham area of the Bronx, and if you're familiar with that area along Fordham Road, there used to be a record store called Record Explosion, and it was down in the basement, I think next to the Dr. J's, which I don't believe is there any longer. But I used to go down there, and that's where I used to get all my music. Whenever like new songs, we used to actually buy like singles, right? When singles would come out before the album would come out, you would go to the store like Record Explosion, and you would buy a cassette that just had like the one song. It would have that song and then maybe another song or an intro or outro, but that was it. And I would play that all day long. And I know people, I was never the type of person that recorded. I know plenty of people who would record music, their favorite songs, or if they heard a new single, they would record it on a cassette and then they would have it. So it's interesting how music evolved from that to then we had the whole era of Napster, and people were downloading, you know, illegally music that led to iTunes. It was the answer to like Napster and all those file sharing services, LimeWire, that were out like in the late 90s. Early 2000s. And so it was revolutionary, right? Or it revolutionized the music industry, because then you could buy music for 99 cents a song. You could buy one song, as opposed to like back in the day when I was going to Record Explosion on Fordham Road and I was buying one single for like $5, a cassette that had like a song or two on it. But you had the cover art, of course, which was always cool. That's the only thing that I really miss about physical media, is that the cover art, you don't get that, because especially cassettes, you used to pull the cover art out and it was usually like a booklet, and you would like open it up and it would unfold and it would have like all the track names on it, and then like a whole listing of like all the producers and the producers on each song, and sometimes it would have special images on it. It would have a special word or two from like the artist. So it was interesting. So that's something that I do miss about physical media. Clearly, on its last legs, it's kind of like Blockbuster, right? I used to love Blockbuster. When I was, I went to Blockbuster all the way until when I was in college. Blockbuster was around, and I went to Blockbuster, and I would rent videos, and I was doing Netflix and Chill before Netflix and Chill was a thing. For me, it was called Blockbuster and Popcorn, Blockbuster and Bologna Sandwiches, Blockbuster and Mad Dog 2020. view. I know my my millennials out there, the older millennials, know what Mad Dog 2020 is. I used to, man, I can't believe I used to drink that, actually. Weren't we just like, the stuff that we put in our bodies, I would never drink that now. That's pretty rough stuff right there. That's that, they call that wino liquor. So I was doing Netflix and chill before it was a thing. And I would go to Blockbuster. And I remember there was a Blockbuster when I was in college in D.C. at Howard University. Shout out Howard University! Howard Homecoming! Coming soon. And so there was a Blockbuster on Columbia Road, which, if you're familiar with the area, that's in that the Adams Morgan area. Columbia Road is pretty long, actually. It goes through Columbia Road crosses a lot of places, because I know it crosses Georgia Avenue, crosses Sherman. It goes all the way into Columbia Heights, and then it goes into Adams Morgan. And so Columbia Road, there was a Blockbuster there, and I would go there sometimes on the weekends. Sometimes I would go there on like a Thursday or Friday and go there. And it's funny because Blockbuster was at the point where they had converted. It was a quick conversion, because when I was in high school, they still had video cassette tapes, right? And so you would go there, and there would be these huge floor-to-ceiling walls that had video cassette tapes on them. And the video cassette tapes, and when it was funny, because when new movies would come out, they would have like 40 boxes of like one movie, right? 40 boxes on each shelf. It would be like 10 boxes of the same movie, and behind it would be different copies of it, right? And so I think they had a guarantee that any new movie was guaranteed to be there, so I think that's why they had so many of them. But you would go there, pick out your movie, and then so they had like the new releases, I think, were along the walls, which were interesting. And then in the aisles would have like older movies, specific genres would be in those aisles. So you would have your horror, you would have your sci-fi, you would have all these different genres in the aisles, and along those sides and the walls would be the new releases. And so sometimes I get the new releases, and I would get like one new release, because then the new releases were very expensive. I think the new releases were like, what, almost $7, or maybe like $5.95 or something like that. And because they were new releases, and because Blockbuster had that whole guarantee that they would be there when you get there, they would only allow you to rent the movies for 2 days. And then after the 2 days were up, right, you would have to bring it back. Or I think you could extend it over the phone. Or at some point they had it where you can extend it over the internet, I believe. But if you kept it out, you would have to pay that $5.95 for another 2 days or something, or it might have even been 1 day extension. So the new releases were expensive. So I would get one of those, and then maybe I'd go in the aisles and get some low budget B movie, which now low budget B movies are what you find on Netflix, but in Blockbuster, those were in the aisles. And so those would be like $2.95 for like 5 nights or something crazy like that. Or I think they had some that were like $1.99, some of their older stuff, for like 5 nights. So you get a couple of those and you got yourself a good little weekend right there watching movies, which now we call, you know, Netflix and chill, right? You go home and just pull up all the movies on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, and you get your movies now. But back then, you go to Blockbuster and get your movies. And I used to do that, and I loved Blockbuster. And then, you know, like I said, I was at the point of they had converted in high school. We were still rocking videotapes. That was like a quick transition. It was like, I remember when DVDs came out, like, ooh, DVDs, this is awesome. And you don't have to worry about like the tape getting screwed up. So DVDs came out, and then and they would have like one small section with DVDs. And then in the new releases, they started like mixing them. So it was like half would be video cassette tapes, and then the other half would be DVDs. And then all of a sudden, just like the whole wall got taken over by DVDs. And then the whole store, and all of a sudden it was like, where are the cassette tapes? The video cassettes are gone. And just like that, DVD took over and video was no more. And so, yeah, after that, it was all DVDs. And so then, you know, it's funny because at the end of Blockbuster, I was, they had a service. I know, I remember as an older millennial, I remember this, but I'm sure many of the younger millennials do not remember this. Netflix started as a DVD service. And so you would go to Netflix.com, you would put in all your credit information and all that jazz, and then you would put movies in a queue. And so then they would send you, and depending on your plan, right, you would have like, I think you could do the one movie plan where they send you like one movie at a time, or you could do like the two or three movie, I think the three movie plan, which is the one I had. So off of your queue, they would send you three movies. And then you would return the movie once you finished it, and it goes back into, it opens up another space on your queue, and then you get another movie that's off your queue. And so that's how, obviously, how Netflix started. And Blockbuster had a similar service. But theirs was more interesting because theirs was you would pay the monthly fee for the Blockbuster service, mail movie service. And the option was either, I think you could do like two or three movies at a time. But the cool thing about Blockbusters was that you could mix and match. So it could be male DVDs, a combination of male DVDs, and also you could go to the Blockbuster store and get DVDs. So your three movies that you got at a time could be either a male movie, a mail-in movie, mail service movie, or you could go to the Blockbuster and you could use one of the movies in store as one of those movies, three movies. So there was a little bit more flexibility in that you could do both. So if you wanted to, if there was a movie that was only on their website, you could get that. And then if you wanted like a movie that was a new release or something like that, you could go there and get it from there, and that counts as part of your movies. So I had that. I was probably the only person in America that had that service, and I thought it was awesome. And that service didn't last that long because Blockbuster didn't last that long. They flailed out. Well, a lot of it's probably due to Netflix. I think Netflix offered to, they were going to sell, or they were looking to sell, and they wanted Blockbuster to buy them, but Blockbuster said no. Big mistake on their part, right? Look who's talking now. And so now Blockbuster does not exist, except for, and I've seen this on the news a number of times, and also there's a Netflix doc, ironically, right? There's a Netflix documentary on the last Blockbuster, and I think the last Blockbuster is somewhere like either Seattle or in Oregon, somewhere along the Northwest coast, there is the lone Blockbuster. And it's interesting to see that. I guess it's independently run. I guess Blockbuster as a corporation does not exist anymore. Yes, there's one lone Blockbuster, which is for nostalgia purposes, right? Because there's no video rental place that exists in the world, or in the country rather, except for nostalgia purposes, right? Because there are people who just like people who like albums. Albums are dope. I love albums. There's something about the sound of an album that just like, it just sounds so rich, as opposed to like streaming or CDs, which are very digital sounding. And if you were to describe what digital sounding is, it sounds really crisp and like cut and dry and like tight. And that's what digital music sounds like. Very clean, crisp, eerie, almost crisp to a detriment, as opposed to albums sound rich and pure. You put on an album and it sounds like you're actually in a concert hall and you're listening to a band play, and all the instruments and how rich the sounds of the instruments are. So there's a culture out there that is dedicated to keeping albums alive. And it's interesting actually that I'm speaking about albums, because recently I was at a mall, Garden State Plaza. That's where I was at. And I was walking around, and mall is huge. And so I just passed by an FYE, which stands for For Your Entertainment, one of the OG music stores. I guess along with, if you think about like I mentioned, Record Explosion, it was on along those lines. Record Explosion, if you're like old school and you remember Tower Records, kind of along those lines, or Virgin Megastore, where they sold like music. And so that was For Your Entertainment. They strictly sold music, and they sold like audio type equipment, like not speaker. Well, I guess they did sell speakers, but they sold sound decks, like a CD player and a cassette tape deck all in one, attached to speakers, kind of like a boombox, but like bigger. I think they sold like boomboxes as well, but these little decks that I used to have them, and they were interesting because it had like a 3 or 4 CD changer and like 2 or 3 cassette tapes, and it was connected to like the speakers, and it had like the subwoofer built in and the bass. So they had stuff like that, and they had like tons of CDs at the time, lots of CDs. You would go there when music would come out and you buy your CD. And so I hadn't been in one of those in a very long time. The last time I purchased anything from one of those stores was actually I purchased a pop figure, which is, I guess if you want to explain it, it's like a figurine of a character. It could be from like movie, it could be from like live action or from anime. The company's called Funko, and they create these figurines, which have become like a pop culture phenomenon, right? right? People collect these things, and the more exclusive some of them are, the higher value they are. So people have some that are $500,000 and stuff like that that they've collected over time. So that's the last thing I've purchased from an FYE. I haven't been in an FYE in years. And so it just happened to be in this mall that had an FYE, and I went inside and I was like, whoa. I was thinking about how FYE was when I was like in college and I went there and buying music and stuff like that. So like, they literally have like, they have no music. They have a small section in the middle of the store, very small, that has a few albums, I guess, to kind of appeal to people who are still into vinyl. And that's about it, in terms of music at least. No CDs, of course, just albums, a few albums. And then the whole store is converted into like a pop culture kind of place. They sell like t-shirts, graphic t-shirts that have like either bands or different sayings on them, or like shirts that are from like movies or cartoons. And they have pops, they have a large section of anime stuff, and then they have food, candies from like different parts of the world. World, which is interesting. That store, it's like a weird amalgamation of like of a music shop sort of, with like a Hot Topic maybe, that has like that type of feel to it, the grunge kind of band kind of feel with the shirts. So it's interesting. That's the niche that they've kind of carved out for themselves. So that was an interesting experience at FYE, but it kind of brought me back to the music and the vinyl and like buying the CDs and all the other stuff. So just an interesting little tidbit of information there.
Next.
Okay, so I hate, maybe hate is a strong word. I dislike fast food. I especially fast food, McDonald's type fast food, like the crappy burgers that are made from like lips and tails instead of like actual like contractile tissue from the cow. That type of fast food I hate. The type of fast food that sits under a burner, or what they call in fast food, because I worked in fast food before. I worked at Chick-fil-A, and they call that a warmer, where they place sandwiches after they've been prepared. They put them on this contraption called a warmer that keeps them warm. Well, the problem with warmers is that after being on a warmer for so long, eventually the bread gets tough and chewy, and whatever meat is on there gets destroyed as well, because it's constantly being heated under a warmer. So I'm definitely not a proponent of fast food, besides the fact that it's just supremely unhealthy. But I was going to break my fast food fast and go to a McDonald's and purchase a fast food meal, because Sweetie, if you don't know, if you haven't heard yet, has a collab with McDonald's for the Sweetie meal. And of course, Sweetie is a California born rapper, and I'm actually a really big fan of Sweetie, and I love her music, actually, surprisingly. And she has this collab with McDonald's for the Sweetie meal. And I was so gung-ho about going to McDonald's. Hadn't been to McDonald's in years, probably. And I was like, I'm going to McDonald's. I am putting on my shoes and going to McDonald's to get this Sweetie meal. And of course, the internets went crazy over the Sweetie meal. And so I was like reading through a lot of the comments and tweets about it. And then I actually like looked the meal and the promotional stuff that McDonald's is putting out for the meal. And I was like, dude, why am I going to break my fast food fast, right? And spend like probably 20 bucks, not really 20 bucks, but more like probably 10, 11 bucks on a McDonald's meal. That's nothing special. Like, there's nothing interesting or inventive or creative about this meal. Literally, the Sweetie meal is just a Big Mac, 4 chicken McNuggets, a medium French fry, a medium Sprite, barbecue sauce, and a Sweetie and sour sauce, which is just their sweet and sour sauce in different packaging. And it's all just, that's it. That's the Sweetie meal. It's just that. And according to some people on Twitter, it may or may not come in a bag that says the Sweetie meal. So it's, I guess I call it a fail, a McDonald's fail. So you get this meal and it's nothing new. No new sandwiches, no real new toppings, no nothing. It's just their regular food just placed in a bag that says the Sweetie meal. And the whole concept behind the Sweetie meal is that I guess she's famous for remixing her meals. So she takes the, I'm guessing she's a McDonald's connoisseur. And so she goes to McDonald's, or I guess she did. Who knows if she goes? I guess she goes now because she has this collab. But I'm guessing when she was in college, like many of us in college, we lived off of fast food. I lived off of McDonald's and takeout. And I guess she would go to McDonald's and she would order stuff like the Big Mac and French fries, of course, and chicken nuggets. And she would remix the meal. She would put like the chicken nuggets on top of the Big Macs with the fries and put sauce on it. And so that's what she, I guess she's done this many times on TikTok. So it caught the eye of McDonald's and they formed this partnership with her for the Sweetie meal. But it is just so like, it's very interesting that they couldn't have done a better job on this meal. Like if I'm going to spend my hard-earned $10 on lips and tails, then I want like this meal has to be like a triple patty with some type of exotic sauce, Polynesian sauce, maybe like Chick-fil-A and pepper jack cheese with like a Kaiser bun or something like that. Like, I guess in all honesty, how much more, what else can you do with a hamburger? I'm guessing they've done everything with hamburgers. You've already gotten hamburgers that have onion rings on them, right? That was the Burger King thing. The Rodeo Burger. When I was in high school, I used to love the Rodeo Burger, and it was like $1.49, and you got a burger, and it had like three onion rings on it, and I thought that was like next level, revolutionary. So I guess there's not much more you can do to a burger outside of just changing the cheeses and maybe adding different sauces. But at least McDonald's, please, at least try. Humor me for a moment. Make me feel like I'm actually like getting something interesting and unique. Don't give me the same warmed over Big Mac that you sell to everyone else that I could get off the regular menu. Can I get something that has, I don't know, Asiago cheese maybe? Can I get some Gruyere? Can I get some Swiss, some Monterey Jack? Can I get something that's really interesting? Like, and the internets was going crazy. They were just flaming this meal from McDonald's. People were tweeting pictures of other food combinations like a Frito pie, for instance. I have never had a Frito pie, but I've heard it's great. It's literally like a bag of Fritos that you take and you pour like chili and cheese, melted cheese, and like onions and jalapeno peppers, and you mix it all up and you just eat it out the bag with a fork. Now that's ingenious. That's inventive. Kind of. I just don't get McDonald's, McDonald's, they're already struggling. Like, who wants to go to McDonald's and get a double quarter pounder with cheese, added bacon, and onions, when I could perfectly go to Chipotle and get a cauliflower rice burrito with impossible meat filling and pinto beans? Doesn't that sound just tasty? Isn't that just awesome? Maybe, kind of, sort of. I just don't understand McDonald's and their lack of ingenuity when it comes to their fast food selections. The internet was going crazy over this one. And besides the fact that a lot of people couldn't actually get the meal, and then the workers at McDonald's, a lot of them didn't even know what the meal was or what was the meal about. And other people were just like kind of clowning, saying, hey, while you guys are out there eating that double quarter pounder, that Big Mac with your extra bread in the middle, which is a whole nother story. Sweetie's out there doing juice cleanses and ordering meal prep from like her meal prep companies and going to the gym and having a personal trainer while you're eating like the third piece of bread inside of a Big Mac, which I never understood. Why do I want a sandwich that has an extra piece of bread in the middle? Like, don't we have enough bread already in our lives? Do I need to have more bread? Like, okay, I get double quarter pounder with cheese, right? You got two patties, so you got extra meat. Or like a Wendy's, don't they have the Baconator, which is awesome, right? If I'm going to go to a fast food restaurant, they need to be in the back playing cards. They need to be doling out cards. It needs to be poker in the back with my beef patties. I want them to be like just making those beef patty sounds, like just like stacking them up like they're dealers at a Las Vegas casino. That's what I want. I don't want a Big Mac with that extra mac sauce, which is literally just a Thousand Island dressing. Spoiler alert. And the extra patty and the extra bread patty. So now I got bread on top, I got bread in the middle, and I got bread on the bottom. And that just seems so strange to me. And people love a Big Mac. Yes, love a Big Mac because you got extra bread. I could just go to McDonald's and say, hey, can I get a sandwich with extra bread? That's what's called a Big Mac. So I don't understand this. I definitely give all the kudos to Sweetie because her team is doing a great job getting her these type of brand partnerships. You're not making money off of album sales because people aren't buying albums. People are buying songs, or people are streaming through Spotify or Apple Music or Google Play. And so you're getting now a percentage of a percentage, right? So where do you get your money from? You get your money from going on tour. You get your money from having a meal at McDonald's. If you're an athlete, you get your money from, well, athletes are a different story. Athletes, they get paid. Athletes get paid. When your name is Patrick Mahomes and you could throw a 50-yard bomb down the field, you getting paid. Athletes make a ridiculous amount of money, right? I mean, they make stupid money. This is money that you could probably fill your swimming pool with. And it's just ridiculous and laughable. Like, whoa, how much more money do you actually need? Like, can you just slide me like a 20 piece? I'll be fine with that. I don't need the full million. Just give me like a 20 piece. Give me that, I'll be fine. So that's how you make, if you're an artist, that's how you make your money. Going on tours, having brand partnerships, and artists are getting really creative with these brand partnerships. I mean, Megan Thee Stallion is all over the place. I have to give her credit. She does her thing with Fashion Nova. She has her Fashion Nova swimwear line. She's been in commercials for a coach. She just is all over the place, which is awesome. And if you're an artist, it's great to kind of diversify, and a musical artist at least, diversify and try to get yourself out there in different partnerships, because that's where the real money is. The money is not in the music, because music is not as easy to make money in music, especially when people are not buying albums anymore and people are just streaming. So you're getting a percentage off of that. So literally you're getting a percentage off of your $10 a month Spotify bill, which goes to an artist. And so out of all the music that you listen to, which is a lot, because why not? You have Spotify, so you listen to tons of music. And so how much of a percentage of that is actually going to Megan Thee Stallion or Sweetie or Travis Scott? So definitely the money is in the partnerships and the endorsements. That's where these artists are getting paid. So kudos to Sweetie for the Sweetie meal. All right. Thank you for tuning in to another exciting episode of
Big Beards, Bigger Dreams Podcast.
If you like what you hear, make sure you share it on social media. Make sure you like it. Make sure you follow me on all social media at The Court Speaks. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast located where all good podcasts are located. Spotify, Apple Music, and Google Podcasts. All right. I am out of here. But I will leave you, like I always do in part 10. Dreams don't die. Your ambitions do, so keep on striving, family.